as nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken, but we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus.
You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious.
Praise the Lord, church. It is so great to be in the house of the Lord today. So great to see so many of you here. And if we could all stand this morning, and we're going to get right into our adult Bible class. And it is so great to have Brother and Sister Harris here with us this morning. They are the missionaries to Japan and Asia. And we're excited to have them here. And they're also pastored in Shawnee, Wisconsin for a number of years, so kind of close to our heart there as far as with our family. But so great to have them here, and we want him to come and speak to us this morning. God bless you, Brother Harris.
Well, let's give that to the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Such an honor to be here, and we thank Brother Roy Grant for allowing us to come, and Brother Rossing, who was a sectional global mission director. When I called them, they He had a full schedule for me, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, four times I will be ministering today on this Sunday. And thank you, Brother Rossing, I think. But that's what it's about, so glad that we're so well received and well all over, but especially in our home district. We love Wisconsin. For 15 years, we pastored in Shawano, and we're so thankful to the legacy of the Grants, Brother Grant, who started the work in Shawano, Wisconsin, 1967, I believe it was, and enabled. Well, let's give him a hand, Brother Grant. Thank you so much, and brought your family there, and we're just so honored to, even though it had been many years since we pastored there, but following, if we wanted to follow in a great man's footprints that that left a mark in Shawano, Wisconsin, we would go all the way back to Brother John Grant. There's more reasons for that than one, but we're so glad for that, and it's not an easy one to feel, but we're thankful for him and greet him today on live stream. And all you others on live stream, we greet you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. We're going to ask you on live stream today. I know that you do this every Sunday and every Wednesday or whenever if y'all have midweek service. Understand that this is not a movie that you're fixing to watch. A good movie. How that? This is not a good movie that you're fixing to watch. Amen. This is an apostolic move of God, and God wants to permeate into your home. Amen. So I know you're drinking your coffee, and maybe you got the new house coat out that you bought for this service. Amen. You got your duster on, and sir, you're in your pajamas. Anything else? We don't even want to know. But understand that we invite you not just into this service, but we invite you into the spirit of what's going to happen here from the very beginning, amen, to the very end. Praise the Lord. Because God is going to visit us and is visiting us in this service. Can you say amen? Anybody come today for a move of God? Do you need something in your life? Do you need a miracle? Anybody need a miracle? Praise the Lord. Amen. We need a breakthrough. We just come through some rough times, but God has the mountaintop experience for us in Him. You believe that? Why don't you lift up your voice and shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Mark 16, verse 17 through 20. Wonderful lady back there. Or media ministries, or whatever y'all call it. She's asking me, what translation, what version is? I don't know. Maybe it's my version. I don't think so. But I failed to write that down. So here we go. It's so wonderful to see so many friends and Brother Cat. Oh, I just can't even start. Be in trouble. But thank you so much. Amen. Mark 16, verse 17. And the people who believe will be able to do these things as proof. What is the proof that you believe? Well, I go to church. I attend faithfully. I give tithes and offerings. But what is the proof that you are a believer according to Mark 16, verse 17 through 20 and other scriptures? They will use my name to force demons out of people. They will speak in languages they never learned. Okay, that's easy. We do that. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be hurt. They will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. They will. They will. They will. They will. Verse 19 says, and the Lord Jesus said these things to his followers when he was carried up into heaven. There Jesus sat on the right hand of God, power. Verse 20, the followers just start going to church and sitting on the pew and just being happy to be apostolic. Those that believed didn't need no proof because they had already spoken tongues and took baptized in Jesus' name. And they worship the Lord, feel goosebumps on their goosebumps, and shout every 2 or 3 months or maybe 2 or 3 years. And they get happy, and that's all they needed to do. Not according to the Bible, but the followers, verse 20 says, and they went out and they preached everywhere. My version says the followers went everywhere in the world telling people the good news. And the Lord helped them. By giving them power to do miracles, the Lord proved that their message was true. We're very good Pentecostals at church. We're very good apostolics at church. You know, there is a difference. But what about in Walmart? What about in the restaurants? What about in the grocery stores? What about in Best Buy? What about in the drive-thrus? The Bible declares to us that whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose shall be loosed in heaven. And God has given us everything that we need to be truly apostolic, not just in church, but outside of the doors. Amen. You see, we are the church, but the church is not the building. We all know this. But the church is what happens here, amen, ought to be evident in what happens outside of here. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. This is days of revival. There are great things that God is doing across our country and our world. Amen. Don't get involved in politics. Don't get involved in all this other stuff that's a distraction, that can be a distraction to us. But understand that we need to keep the main thing. And it's souls. It's souls. Nothing has changed. We could understand that what brought us to where we are right now, through what we have been through, what it took to get here. Now I know that people give credence or to natural things that's made our situation better than what it was a year and a half ago. But if we could look beyond the temporal, if we could see that we have been in warfare and that there is some victory that has happened across our world, pockets of victory where things have led up. Number one, the spirit of fear. We cannot go back to what we was. Is it okay if I walk out through here? Okay, I'm kind of venturing out. You know, different places. Been 12, 15 states already this year. Just want to be saved. I respect you. But what brought us to this point? We cannot go back to where we was at in our prayer life, in our worship, in our intercession, and in warfare praying, because God is breaking things in the spirit realm. And he's breaking it to loose the church, to be the church. Because evidently, I haven't been what I needed to be. See there? Let all y'all off the hook. I'm just talking about me this morning. And I know you have the same desire as I do, that you really want to be everything that God wants you to be. Really, I know you want to do be like I am in this regard, that you want to do everything that God wants you to do in these last of the last days and into the end times. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to know that God just heard what you said. And I know that you did it from a response of me asking you. But I hope that you realize what you agreed to with an amen. That you are willing to walk in the freedom that God has given you. Even greater than what we was in before. Here I am. I'm doing outreach. I'm in Arkansas. It's right in the middle of COVID, like 4, 5, 6, 7 months ago. I go to a door, and I step back, and it says on there, oxygen in use. Now, I'm fixed to ask a dumb question. This lady comes. She's hooked up to this oxygen. She's dragging this deal. She stands in the door. She don't open it. She looks at me. She says, "What do you want?" I said, "Ma'am." With my mask. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm just in the neighborhood praying for people. I'm praying for the neighborhood. And I just wonder if there's anything," dumb question, "anything you would like for me to pray about?" She just told me on her. And then she says, "Sonny, can't you read?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I wonder if I could pray for you. I just out in the neighborhood," had 3 or 4 guys with me. I was mentoring them, I guess. They were like freaking out, like looking at all the cars going by. Like, who's going to see me out here doing this? I don't care because I'm leaving in a couple days. I didn't give them the doctrinal lesson. I didn't teach them a Bible study. I didn't even invite her to church. All I did was ask her, "Can I pray for you? Do you have anything we could pray about in your family?" And then she says, "I want you to pray for me, Sonny." I said, "I'll step back." She says, "I'm coming out." Step back, respected her, 6 feet away, mask on. She said, "I'm on this oxygen." She told me family problems. And I said, "Okay." Because you see, I know that if I can get this woman and anybody else in the presence of God, something's fixing to happen. Not interested in giving her my doctoral thesis, whatever that is. Maybe that didn't even make sense. I wouldn't even know how to do it. I'm not interested right then in getting her to come to church. But I am interested right then in getting the power of God to come, because I realize that I am the walking Ark of the Covenant. And everywhere I go, the presence of God goes with me. You say, "Oh, did you pray 3 hours that day?" Probably not. "Did you fast 3 meals a day? Did you fast 5 days, 7 days, 10 days? Probably not. Come on. But I don't have to pray and fast to do that. I pray and fast to get myself under subjection. No, I did pray. Got out there and started praying. And guess what? We didn't pray no denominal church prayer. We prayed Pentecostal, apostolic, tongue-talking, hallelujah, hold down.
because when we started praying, and then we prayed in tongues, I did. Them guys were, I didn't even peek. They were thinking like, who in the world did I decide to go on outreach to with? And all of a sudden, this has happened all over the country. But just give you this story. And all of a sudden, as we kept on praying, we didn't pray 30 seconds. We prayed. And all of a sudden, when I looked at that woman, tears were running down her face. And then I knew that she was in the presence of God. Then I knew that anything can happen because she was in the presence of God. And beyond her physical healing, God wanted to do a spiritual healing in her. I still was 6 feet away. And I said to her, ma'am, you're feeling the presence of God. He's coming very near you. I said, if you would just repent of your sins and say to Jesus, God, forgive me of all of my sins. He will forgive you. And then he will come in your heart in a new and special way. And I said, oh, God, forgive this woman. And she said, oh, forgive me. And in about 5 seconds after that, 6 feet away from her with my mask on, I'm emphasizing those things to tell us there's no excuse. Amen? And that lady, like many others, received the Holy Ghost on her front porch while traffic was going up and down the road. And here she is, speaking in other tongues. Amen. What is your proof? Excuse me right now, but I'm getting very personal. The ladies may say, well, my proof is I wear my dress all the way down to the ground, and it's rubbing the ground when I walk. I mean, it's dragging. I'm so holy. My sleeves are all the way down, and they're below my knuckles, and nobody's going to look at my hands. And I don't go here, and I don't do this, and I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't run with those who do. I'm a happy people. Yes, I am. Been baptized in Jesus' name. You got it. That's what we used to sing with teenagers. We don't smoke it. Oh, we'll forget that. We don't chew, we don't run with those who do, but we're a happy people. Yes, we are. No, we're really not. Because we're not soul winners like we need to be. And there's a potential for us to affect someone everywhere we go. Not just by your lifestyle. Thank God for it. In Shawnee, Wisconsin, I drove a school bus when I first went there. A mile and a half or 2 miles from the church, there was the Shawnee cult. You probably read about it. I picked up their kids every day. Their girls and the women all had on blue and blue. They all, when I first picked them up, I thought to myself, I said, I didn't know there was another Pentecostal church in town. I thought I was the, I know I'm the only UPC, but maybe there's an independent group here. I want to meet them, and I want to find out where they are. And so when the kids got on the school bus the next morning, I asked the girls, I said, hey, I said, how are you this morning? Where do you attend church? And they went, and I thought, they're apostolic. I thought. But if they're part of a cult that owns most of the stuff in town, American, Best Western, gas stations are all owned by these people. And even though they look like we do, they're not of us. They acted like us too. I never see Jesus doing that. I never see the disciples doing that. I'm told not to do that. Be self-righteous and think I'm holier than thou, better than thou, that I can't share the faith with anybody. Come on, somebody. Amen. The world is looking to somebody for help in this hour. Amen. We cannot, amen, be mired in the trouble that the world is in, mind in the psychologically, amen, psychologically and in the mental. Amen. We cannot be like the world. We have to be like Jesus. I remember when I was recovering from COVID after being in the hospital and hooked up to two. Both arms had IVs in them. And when they come in there and turn that stuff off, and I could get where I could, I just shouted hallelujah as loud as I could, which might not have been very loud. And 8 weeks it took me to recover to get back on the road. And I walked every day down the road a little bit at a time. First, I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk in the house I was in. But as I kept working and getting up every hour to keep that pneumonia out of my lungs, at least 15 minutes, I start walking down the road to get my strength back up to walk at least as much as I did before COVID, which is about 40, 45 minutes a day. And I'll never forget the evangelist quarters I was staying in might be considered a bad part of the town I was at in Arkansas. I'm not calling my name. It doesn't matter. And, you know, you're walking, strange person, dogs come out chasing you, give you heart attacks. And I had this big old stick I carried. I really needed it to lean on. But I'll never forget that when I seen people in the yard, in the yards as I was passing by there. You know, I didn't go up to them. I didn't go up and shake their hand. I had such a love for people. Because I come right from death. I knew that I felt that there was a very good chance I was going to be gone. And it caused an appreciation come up in me that I never had before. Oh God, let me die out to my flesh. And there are people, they were of another color, another culture. And they might have robbed me that night, maybe. I don't know. It was a bad neighborhood. But I went by them, and they was in their yard, and they stopped me, looked at me. I said, hello. Great morning out here. I love you. That person went, oh, well, I love you too. My wife went through the drive-thru, and I was on the other side. And the woman, she gave the money or put the card in. And I said, ma'am, I said, what? I said, I just want you to know I just love you so much. I just love you. They're like, well, that's nice. Well, so that's what some of them did. They couldn't say I love you. And I didn't care. But I just come through from death's door. Honey, how long has it been since you remember the pit where you came from? How long has it been since you remember what sin had, how it had a hold upon you? And spiritually you were dead, or maybe you would be physically passed if it wasn't for the mercy of God. But yet, now, all that's old news. Can I just walk in the Holy Ghost for a while? Because I'm going to do it anyway. This might be the weirdest missionary service you've ever been in. Because I'm not here to get a PIM. I'm here to obey the Holy Ghost. God take care of all of that. I don't work for people, and I work for God. So just rest your wallet for just a little while till the second service.
Amen. But do you remember how much you loved people? When you first got in church, you were so happy and you just told everybody. I mean, there were women that hugged the men and the men hugged everybody. And none of it was suggestive or ugly. It was just because we loved each other so much. But now, let me meddle right now. Now, we want to fight because you don't wear a mask and I have to wear a mask and you better wear a mask and you better do this because I did it. And if you don't do it, you're wrong. Don't you see what the enemy's trying to do? House divided against itself will not stand. We cannot do the will of God while we are dividing each other. Our purpose has been derailed. We have got off track somehow. Amen. Is that all right? You say you've been talking to the pastor? No, I just traveled. I just know. It's everywhere. And it's frightening to know that it's in the United Pentecostal Church. And there's so much contention. And you know, this can be a good thing. A good thing in the regard that it shows you what's really inside of you and me. And we need to work on that. Use it for the glory of God. Because we didn't know these things was in us until this start happening. So turn it around and tell the devil he's a liar. And go working in the altar and get rid of your self-judgment. Get rid of your self-righteousness. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the church up the road. And somebody will listen to this next week and it'll be for them. But just let me go on here. But get rid of your condemnation against other people and look at yourself. Amen. Because how can you get the beam out of their eye when you got a mote in yours? I'm talking about soul winning right now. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Going right back up to my notes, Pastor. Well, in the midst of all this, the world's looking somewhere for hope. Somebody's asking for help, and they're not even saying anything, but inside they're crying out, "What can I do?" Help me! And it's time for God's church to get on track, get focused again. For the cause of souls. Amen. How about when you go through the drive-thru line or you get to the window? Why don't you say to that person while they're getting their order and he's sitting there looking at you, why don't you say, "I thank you for what you're doing. Can I just pray for you? You're touching all these people. You're out here interacting and you're such a brave person. And I just pray, Lord, just keep your hand upon my friend. Keep your hand upon him, blah, 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 blah." Short little prayer and say, "We care for you." You say, "Well, do I give them a card and invite them to church?" You go there all the time. They'll see you again. How about when you go to a restaurant? How many goes to the restaurant now? You feel okay to go inside and eat. Okay, maybe some don't. That's all right. Your time will come. That's all right. I mean, when you feel comfortable to do that. How about when the waitress brings your food to you? What are you fixing to do before you eat? Why don't you say to that waiter or waitress, "I know they're busy." You say, "Oh, do you mind? We're Christians." "No, I'm apostolic." See? No more.
you know, whatever. No, I'm a Christian, and we're fixed to pray over our food. And I just wonder, do you have anything we could pray about? Maybe they'll say no, but maybe they'll say, yeah, you know, they're real too. They got home problems. They got kids that are sick. They're a single mother or a single father, but we don't know anything about that. We just want service. And if it ain't good enough, I'll gripe at you and won't leave you a tip. I lived in, of course, you know, Shawano, and you know, in a few weeks, the week of camp meeting, I'm not going to tell you the restaurant's names, but they're going to call camp meeting week the restaurant owners. They tell us it's called Hell Week. That's what they call Hell Week is coming. I went around and reminded them, you know, of the change, and we want everything to be fine. But then you get close to them, and some of the managers tell you, they said, why don't your people tip? And they tell me who don't tip and who robs their waitresses, and they're working hard every night. I mean, they're working hard to keep us in Perkins at 2 o'clock in the morning when they close at 11 or 12. And everybody goes, and they want to talk and visit. And then people get up and leave and don't leave any tip for their waitresses. Or wherever it's at. I know this ain't smart, but don't be stupid. And I know you ain't never supposed to say that, but I'm from Arkansas, so you just count that back there. Wisconsin says, be smart. You suppose? But what about praying for that, listen to that waitress and talking to, and let them tell you you need it, and then when you pray, pray over it. Don't you believe that God heals? You don't have to pray, talk in tongues, grab somebody, slam their head against the wall, screaming their ear, spit all over them. We do that at church. Just keep it there. And really, don't keep it there. Bring you a towel. I'm talking about walking in the supernatural. It's easy. Somebody's waiting on some voice to say, yay, thus saith the Lord, say this to this person. The Bible already tells us we're witnesses. Amen. We didn't need to look for opportunity and not walk in the flesh. Be mindful of other people. Oh, yeah, in Minnesota. Yeah. The district secretary church, we went out. I mean, there was 20 of us at a table. And this guy come to wait on us. He looked like a rough guy. But really, he wasn't. See, don't let their looks fool you. Don't let peer pressure stop you. Somebody's waiting on you. And he said to us, I'm a recovering alcoholic. He said, I've been clean for 30 days. I'm so happy. He said, pray for me that I'll stay clean. And he was busy. We didn't say to him, come here, let me pray for you right now. He's working. He needs to work. He's on the clock. And so we stayed busy and talked a long time like Pentecostals do. And then he came back over and he said, can I help you? And he said, thanks for praying for me. And I said, we want to pray for you again. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, now that people's out of here, I said, we're fixing to leave too. But right before we leave, can we pray for you one more time? We really want to pray for you. That man didn't have no idea what was fixing to happen. And he said, yeah, he put his fist right in the middle. And Brother Marchand, the district secretary, and those people grabbed a hold of his hand. And we touched each other as much as we could. And we began to pray. And then we prayed apostolic, tongue talking. Nobody else was in there barely. And this guy, he looks at us. I'm peeking. He looks at us and his eyes get real big and he's thinking like, oh boy, I can't get out of this now. They got a hold of my hand. What in the world did I get into? And then he had to hold on. And as we kept on praying, then he started crying. And then he got really embarrassed because power of God came down. And when I left to go to the next church, Brother Marchand, they were still, they were still talking to him and telling him about what God can do for him and carrying on. And I just walked out. Because you know what? Everybody can do that. You see a nurse in a uniform, a doctor, and you know, if you see him in a uniform, you know, we tell our soldiers, oh, thanks for your service, rightfully so. That's one thing. In Japan, there's 24 military bases, and 14 of them are in Okinawa. Brother Rufus Parker, one of the, I guess he's still a presbyter here, I don't know. You're aware of him. He was lived in Okinawa, Japan, and he was a military chaplain. Now Brother Fonzel Marsh is over there, and I get to fly with Brother Fonzel Marsh all over Asia to our military bases and preach revivals in our chapel and minister to our American soldiers. It's such an honor to hear their stories and to see them pray through, and backslid kids and preachers' kids that are over in the military. We find them. And that's just one of the things that I do. But what about if to pray for a soldier? What about when you see a nurse or whatever you think, they're in a uniform. Maybe they're, it doesn't matter, they're in the medical field. How about that? How about if you go thank them and you say, I'd just like to pray God keeps his hands upon you as you continue to serve, amen, humanity. These people are angels. They care for people. Amen? But they got real, they got life too. And I know they want to jab you and jostle you and do all that, but that's just, sometimes they have to do that. Oh, yeah. But they need to be prayed for. You say, well, I'll do that to the medical people we have here. But what about outside? What about seeing one someplace and just, you know, being very respectful and courteous and asking, can I pray for you? If you can't pray with them there, then get their name and call them, call their name before God when you walk off. Amen. I went all over the place today. I specialize in that. I feel very comfortable here. I hope you realize that. It's very surprising because usually it's like I'm scared to death. Amen. But I am home in a way. And I don't think that has anything to do with it. But this is just the way that God wants it to be brought out today. Not being mean and ugly. I know everyone has their, you know, personalities. But we ought to have Holy Ghost personality. Amen? We ought to reach everywhere we go, look for opportunities. Wake up and in your prayer time before you leave or in your, on your way to work, pray. However you do it, just don't close your eyes when you're on the road. Thank you. Amen. But just pray, God, who can I minister to today? Who will you put in my way today that I can minister to, that I can encourage, that I can give a word to? You know, sometimes it's nice just to ask somebody, how are you doing? Now, I know you're going to get it a few times because they're going to tell you how they're doing. But that's going to happen very rarely. But that's a chance you take by caring. By showing that you love, because you see, love hurts. Amen? But you know, people don't care. They don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And you can tell them all day long what you believe. But if you're nasty, if you act in the flesh, which we do. Again, I'm not talking about walking around. I'm talking about just everyday life. We can do this, people. Amen. God has enabled us to do it because he knows that we're flesh. And our flesh is the enemy of God, but yet he still can work through us. We begin to take on his attributes of everywhere Jesus went, he healed everyone. he ministered. He tried to look for an opportunity to make somebody's day better. You know, when you're having a bad day, and you will, you have, the way to change that is to go show kindness to someone. Go minister. Go give your testimony. Tell about what God done for you in the pit he brought you out of. And see how your day will immediately start changing. Or you can't just be a jerk. Amen? But even your wife won't like you. And the dog will run when you come in. And you know that's bad when the dog don't come and wag his tail when you walk in the door. You don't have to worry about cats. They're nowhere to be found anywhere. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm closing. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to minister to you this morning. Let's stand our feet, clap our hands, and give God praise for his word.
Go ahead. You'll catch that. You'll be right back up here.
Okay, we're going to take 15, those of you that have kids in Sunday school, your kids are ready to get picked up, so don't forget them over there and come back over. We'll be starting back up with our second service here at 11 o'clock. Thank you so very much, Brother Harris, for challenging us this morning, and this was great. Very good, very good. God bless you, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.